Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And oh boy, do we have the most eclectic mix ever of movies tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be hard to find two movies less alike than the movies we are covering tonight.
You'd have to work at it, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be your job for you to do a stranger set of movies than we're doing tonight. So let's go for it.
Well, we got random crap first.
Right, random crap. I always forget to do that. Oh, wait, no, that's a bit. All right, first off, you want to talk about a word?
Yeah. So at the end of October on upcoming horror movies, I talked about a film called Crepitus.
Oh, and we talked about whether that was a real word or not, and I only knew it because it had been the name of a monster in a video game.
So it is a real word.
Nice.
I actually looked it up, but it's got nothing to do with monsters.
Oh, okay. What does it mean?
So crepitus is the sound my knee makes.
Oh, the clicking and the popping and such?
It's like this, yeah, this sort of crackling, crunching noise.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's what crepitus is.
Although it makes sense why an insect monster would be called that. Like, I actually completely understand that now. Yeah. So, way to go, the makers of, Jagged Alliance 2. That's a really good name for an insect beast.
Right, yeah, it's like actually that. Like, it's the sound of like a crinkly, crackly joint.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah.
I am glad you looked that up. Thank you so much. That's so cool. All right, so next up, I have a video game I don't just want to recommend, I want to insist everyone buy, which is a little far for me normally. But I mentioned a little while ago, I don't know if I just mentioned to you or if it came up on the show, that there was a new Terminator video game.
If you mentioned it, I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, because, and the thing is, so what happened was, a Terminator game had been developed in secret for a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, the month before Dark Fate comes out, this company's like, oh, by the way, we also have a Terminator product coming out that has nothing to do with Dark Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Because some company bought the rights to make Terminator and Terminator 2 games, like, back in the 90s. And it's that license has just been kicking around ever since. So they didn't have to ask Skydance to make a movie. As long as it just has to deal with the events of Terminator and Terminator 2, they can make all the games. They can make all the video games they want.
Yeah.
And I have now played it, and I can say that not only is it one of the best games of the year, it's by far the best Terminator game ever made. And if you've ever wanted anything set in the future war against Skynet period of Terminator, this is the absolute best product I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's fantastic. You see all of the famous Terminators from the future war sequences, you know, the giant tank things, the flying HKs, weird spider robots, stuff from the comic books. Like, it's a love letter to everything Terminator, and it's a completely well-made first-person shooter as well. It is just fantastic in every way. And the best part is, they managed to, by not giving you plasma weapons for the first third of the game, they managed to do a whole horror sequence where you're running away from Terminators, because until you get plasma weapons, you can't do a ton of good against Terminators.
Right.
Yeah, so there's like Terminators attacking a town and gunning down people as you sprint away from them. There's you sneaking through a hospital that is full of patrolling Terminators, just like one great set piece after another. And then you finally get plasma weapons and it just becomes a war game that is amazing. It's called Terminator Resistance. You can get it on a bunch of platforms. It's budget-ish priced, like $40, $50, depending on where you live. But I mean, most games cost $100 now. So it's essentially half of, I know it's disgusting, but it's half the price of a normal game. And it is, if you love Terminator or action games, it is amazing. If you love both, it's one of the best games ever made. There, I said it. I love this game.
So, okay.
Terminator Resistance, check it out. And in slightly related news, I read an interview with Tim Miller. You know, his pity me, why didn't people like my movie interview he did after Dark Fate.
Right.
And I think he might be an idiot.
Okay.
Because, and he's like, apparently the whole shoot was a nightmare and, you know, because he's working with eight levels of producers. But, and you always wonder, well, whose story, it's like, it's so weird to have someone within their own here's why I'm not the bad guy story reveal something about themselves. And you're like, I think you might be the problem here, Tim Miller.
Oh.
He endlessly, this is a thing that he apparently endlessly debated with James Cameron about. And this is how dumb this man is. He was adamant that Legion, Skynet, not lose in the future. Cause he's like, if they win in the future, then it's higher stakes in the present.
No.
And then.
Not like, how that works.
No, but then, and then apparently James Cameron tried to explain to him over and over again, if Legion wins in the future, why would they send a Terminator back? To win bigger?
Like, just to win more.
To just like rack up points on a scoreboard? Like, and he honestly doesn't understand that there's no story, there's no classic Terminator story if Skynet wins.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Or Legion wins. I mean, if Legion wins in the future, it has to be a story about humans coming back to kill whoever invented Legion. And you can do that story, but that's not the Terminator you were trying to make.
Right.
But yeah, he honestly doesn't understand on any level what makes Terminator Terminator, other than the visuals, and that's why that movie was trash. So there you go.
Okay.
Tim Miller might be very dumb, and it's probably good that he didn't get to make Deadpool 2. So there we go. All right. Next up, you saw a movie as well?
Yeah, so we've been taking this journey down memory lane.
We have.
And so I decided to go back and watch a movie that I was completely obsessed with as a kid.
I can't wait to find out what this was.
Little Monsters.
Oh, right. With Howie Mandel and I want to say Fred Savage?
Yes. Also, yes. Ben Savage.
Oh, Ben Savage is in it too.
Yeah, he plays his younger brother.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. And it would be weird to cast him as the neighbor.
Right. So this movie is weird.
Okay.
Like, it just, cause it's really, it's like partly about just dealing with like troubles at home and like the parents are going to get, they're separating and all this shit.
Okay.
Cause they like move to a new place and nobody's happy, but like, I guess they did it for, no, not even his work. I don't even know why they moved. Okay. It's explained in the movie, but it doesn't matter. And there's like, there's a bully at school. And then he shows up at the end of the movie to help them fight the monsters. It's like, but there's at no point do these characters ever kind of reconcile. It's just
or
like,
really
well,
interact outside of the bullying context.
Exactly. And there's this weird thing where the movie is supposed, I think the movie is supposed to take place over a much longer period of time than it appears to.
Oh.
So there's a lot of weird stuff going on in that movie.
Damn.
And of course, like stuff you don't notice when you're a kid. You're just like, oh, it's a movie about monsters and the potential to become a monster and like this sort of magical monster world where there are no rules and no parents. And isn't that fun?
Yeah. But really, it's a much more confusing film. Well, and that's the thing. And when you're a kid, you don't care about story structure at all.
Yeah. And then at the end of the movie where Fred Savage is saying goodbye to Howie Mandel and it's like really sad. It's like, there's no reason why you can't see him again. But I guess it's supposed to be like this weird coming of age moment where I guess Fred Savage can no longer visit like the monster realm under his bed. But it's like there's nothing there's
within the nothing rules of the movie established.
Movie. That
that is
happening.
The case.
And it's really dragged out and they're like racing against sunrise and it just, it's taking so long and it got really fresh. I'm like, just leave already, will you? You're gonna get trapped down there.
Oh God. So yeah, they're not good at stakes. They're not good at setting up the world. And they're just like, oh, we got a couple of scenes that'll gross out and entertain kids. That's all we need to do to make a movie, right? And the answer
is no,
you need more than that.
Well, I mean, it's great for a kid, I guess.
Oh yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend revisiting it as an adult.
Oh.
Maybe just hold on to that cherished childhood memory of really loving Little Monster.
Okay. I will keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember seeing it like once when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Oh, I watched it like, because it was on the movie channel.
Yeah.
So just watch it over and over again.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I did not have that experience. But I'm very interested that it turned out to be such a in retrospect.
Right.
It's too bad. I'm worried about trying to watch Goonies again. Is that actually terrible?
No, no. Goonies is amazing. All right. It will always be amazing.
So amazing, I'll forget about Robert Davi's terrible politics. It was a weird drive-by. Okay.
Jesus.
I know, right? Let's move on to a list.
Right. So this week's list is the, I guess 2090s sci-fi movies that still hold up.
Ah, I know why we picked this list.
Yes. It'll become apparent later.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not, it's enumerated because it's a slideshow.
Oh, okay.
So it's like 1 of 20, 2 of 20. Yeah, I don't think
there's not any authorial intent behind that other than slideshows have to have numbers at the bottom
for the HTML
to work. Yeah.
Value statements here. So.
Okay.
All right. So we begin with The Matrix.
Oh, well, obviously. Yeah.
Except the picture they used, I think, is from the second movie.
Oh, is it with the ghosts?
No, it's him holding up all the bullets.
No, that's from the end of the first movie.
No.
Oh, not when he does it in the first movie.
No, it's not from the first movie, because I remember the movie very well, and the background in this image is not from the first movie.
Well, if he's wearing a long sleeve t-shirt, it's the first movie.
No,
that's my point. The scene he held back the bullets in the first movie was long sleeve t-shirt and a green alley.
Just said that I remember that movie very well, and I know that this image isn't from that.
That's a very silly thing for them to get wrong, considering there is an image of him doing that in the first movie.
Right? So
if that's the image you wanted to use.
So stupid. So we're off to a great start here.
We talked about The Matrix's 10th anniversary all year, so yeah, everyone knows that thing's perfect.
All right, second, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Oh, the best movie ever made? Yeah, obviously that holds up.
I don't know why they just didn't do these movies chronologically, because Matrix is 99 and this is 91.
Yeah, that's strange.
So, anyway, okay, moving on, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, still a really good movie.
Great movie. Ooh, 12 Monkeys.
I love 12 Monkeys.
I think I've always seen it like twice.
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
Probably should watch it again.
You absolutely should.
Yeah. Is a TV show any good?
It is. It's not great, but it's definitely good and totally worth watching.
Right.
They do some interesting stuff with the premise. And like at first I was like, can they really keep this going that long? But it's like, you can totally see that there's more than enough story there.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to spoil it though. It's enjoyable.
All right. Next is Face Off.
See, is that really a sci-fi movie?
Well, it's got like weird sci-fi face swapping tech.
Yeah, but that's just like one time. Like, yeah, that's the element that basically fundamentally underlines the film. But it's like, we can do plastic surgery to make people look like other people. The fact that they just made it so, well, it's a slightly sci-fi surgery where we just take off your whole face and put your whole face on somebody's else is the only thing. And that's barely sci-fi.
I just listened to the How Did This Get Made about Face Off.
Is it amazing?
It is so good.
Okay. I will have to watch that.
Yeah. Because
Face Off is one of my favorites.
So, yeah. How Did This Get Made? The Face Off episode.
Totally.
Unbelievable. Okay. Hilarious. Yes.
All right. Go.
Okay. Next is The Fifth Element.
Oh, now that's a great movie.
Love that movie.
Beginning to end. Like, I love that movie from Luke Perry's cameo at the start of the movie to the very end of that movie. I love every part of it. Just so good. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Then we have Men in Black.
Oh, I haven't seen Men in Black in forever.
Oh, great film.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I watched it a bunch of times when it originally came out because again, pay TV. But I haven't really watched it since.
Yeah.
And I'm worried, but you're telling me it really is that good. It holds
up. You don't need to be worried.
Okay. Good. Yay. Oh, okay. Smith.
Next is a movie I haven't seen.
Ooh.
The X-Files Fight the Future.
You haven't seen the X-Files movie?
No, because I checked out by that point.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Yeah, didn't care.
It's good. Like, it's good. It starts off with a way too soon reproduction of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm-hmm.
like really exploitative far too soon, recreation of the Oklahoma City bombing. But then it turns into just a really good X-Files spy thriller movie.
Right.
I really like that movie.
Oh, okay. No. All right, next is Armageddon.
Yeah, good movie. Very stupid, very it's okay. silly. No, it's good. I mean, it's stupid, it's silly, and you know, I don't have a lot to say about J.J. Abrams' writing, but you know, I think it's a ton of fun to watch. Like, you know, I mean, later he would become, like, Michael Bay would become completely incompetent and make completely incoherent films, but at this phase of his career, he was still making really watchable action.
Yeah, I just, it's okay. I mean, it's, that's all great. I can say about it.
I mean, no, I won't say it's great, but I'm just saying, if the line is holds up and you can watch it today, yeah, it's not Plan 9 from Outer Space. You can totally watch it today.
All right, next is Back to the Future Part 3.
Oh, I never think of these as 90s movies, but of course the last one did come out in...
It was 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, really just a great movie. Although again... Only barely sci-fi.
It's a Western.
It's a Western about getting back to a sci-fi context.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, kind of sci-fi, but it is sci-fi a stretch to call it sci-fi.
Face Off is sci-fi.
Yeah, if Face Off is sci-fi, this is definitely sci-fi. But if we're, like, being that strict, maybe this isn't either. Although, I guess just the fact that it is a time travel movie makes it sci-fi because it's a Western, yeah, but it's a Western about a guy who knows about Westerns commenting on Western tropes, which means it is well into a sci-fi genre.
No, just because, no, the time travel would make it sci-fi, not a guy who knows about Westerns commenting on Westerns. That doesn't make it sci-fi.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying a comedy, yes. that makes it a postmodern comedy. What I'm saying is, the fact that it's sci-fi allows that to be a central element of the film. Like, the weird part is, I would almost say that a movie where a guy who's just, like, walking in the woods and then, like, falls in a time hole and ends up in the Old West and just has an Old West adventure might not be sci-fi if there's no extra level of trying to get back to the present and that sort of thing.
No, but what you said earlier, you were suggesting that the postmodern elements of the movie make it sci-fi, and that's
That's not... I'm saying the fact that they handle it that way makes you want to address it more as a sci-fi film than as a Western film.
No, I disagree.
He is a person out of time.
No, it's solely the time travel. It's got nothing to do with the postmodernism.
And that's fine. That's totally a valid interpretation.
Because you could have a time traveler who doesn't know shit about Westerns.
That's what I just said.
Yeah,
but if it was about a guy who came down a time hole,
but that would still have a sci-fi element because of the time travel.
Yes, but I wouldn't say it's a time travel. It's a sci-fi movie first, is what I'm saying. Unless it's about the time travel in some way, I think you would say Western and then sci-fi second. Sci-fi first and Western second, if it's about the time travel and about the experience of a person out of time and blah 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 blah. I'm saying if you fall through a time hole and have a Western adventure, then it can be a capital first rank Western movie that also has a sci-fi element in it.
No, I disagree. I think because the movie is primarily set in the past,
Western
it's
first.
A Western first.
And that makes sense. I totally see where you're coming from.
Okay, right. Next is Star Trek First Contact.
Oh.
Which I'm going to assume I didn't enjoy it because I didn't really like any of the TNG movies.
I mean, I really do like First Contact. I think it's better than The Final Frontier, right? But, yeah, I mean, it's not
What
great.
Happens in First Contact?
It's the one with the Borg. And they go and meet Zeph and Cochran and, Borg Queen.
Bullshit Borg Queen. Yeah. That was crap.
No,
yeah,
I hate the
didn't
Borg
like
Queen,
this
but
movie.
I enjoy the movie, mm-hmm. but I think the Borg Queen character, I mean, it's terrible and it's a completely wrong way to take the Borg, where
garbage.
The entire point of the Borg is that they,
so
are
they don't
communal,
have a queen.
Yeah, they're not ants.
They're not bees.
Know? No, they have a hive mind. Literally, all of them are plugged in, and their communal consciousness is what the Borg is.
Yeah,
there's not a lady giving them orders.
Yeah, there's no supreme Borg.
No, that ruins the entire point of the Borg, and I agree with that completely. So,
and it ruined the entire point of the movie for me.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. I get it.
Okay, next we have, Total Recall.
Oh, Total Recall's incredible. Is that also 1990?
That was 90, yeah.
Wow, nice. I love that movie so much.
Such a great movie.
So gross.
Only at the end.
No, even at the beginning. Whenever somebody gets shot, there are these giant, meaty bullet wounds.
That's not gross. Gross is when they're outside and their eyes and are bulging out. That's gross.
That's gross too. No, that's
even
also
Quatto
very gross.
Quatto wasn't that gross.
I don't think Quatto is that gross, but I just think like these giant, bloody, gruesome, exposed flesh and bone bullet wounds are just so different from everything you've ever seen in an action movie.
That's not gross.
Okay. Go on.
You're mistaken. Okay. Next is The Rocketeer.
Oh, I love The Rocketeer.
I haven't seen it, but I don't really...
That's great.
Does it hold up?
Oh, completely. I watched it last year, and it's amazing. From beginning to end, just I mean, because it's a period piece, and it's done in the style of, like, a fun action romp of the 40s. The 30s and 40s, air heroes, fun adventures. Like, it's a pastiche, and it's a stylistic thing, but it's, like, really great as a movie. Just a wonderful movie from beginning to end. Everyone should watch The Rocketeer.
Okay. All right. Next.
What?
Demolition Man.
Well, we've long talked about our love of Demolition Man.
I don't think this movie actually holds up very well, but it's still great.
That's true. I agree that it doesn't hold up. It is a film currently out of its time, but it's an amazing movie.
That doesn't make it any less fun. You can watch it today, but understand it was made in 1993.
Yeah.
And it looks like it was made in 1993.
Does it ever?
Oh, so good.
Oh, I love that movie so much. Yeah, no, it really does. And it's just everything about it is so much fun. And oh God, is Wesley Snipes incredible in this movie. so much fun. Oh, Simon Phoenix.
Okay, next is Strange Days.
Well, that's just one of my favorite movies.
Great movie.
Yeah, great, great movie. Yeah. Really, really bad, you know, at predicting the future, but just an amazing movie. Dude, it was only like 3 years in the future you were talking about. You got it really wrong.
Doesn't matter. Still good.
Oh, no, it's incredible. And one of my favorite Angela Bassett performances.
Yeah, she is very good in it.
She's so good in that movie. Yeah. So yeah. Like, just incredible. I mean, both of them are, but she's great. And it has Michael Wincott, which is always, you know, 50, 60 bonus points for me. You put Michael Wincott in your movie.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, no, I gotta say, this is a really good list. They found a lot of wonderful movies for this.
Okay. Well, you got a few more to go. So next is Mars Attacks.
Oh God. I haven't seen that since it originally came out. So I cannot weigh in.
I don't like the animation, like the CGI stuff, maybe isn't great by today's standards.
Right.
But it's a fun movie. Like people are just really hamming it up.
Oh, of course.
The whole time. So it's just, yeah.
Okay. And oh God, I was just going to say, is there anything left for me to predict to be on this movie? And
then
I realized, on this list, sorry, yes. And I'm like, of course, Event Horizon. What am I saying? what's next?
Our next is Contact.
I've never seen Contact.
Really?
No, I've just seen bits and pieces of it. I've never sat down and watched the whole movie.
Oh.
It's one of those things that I caught, you know, 60% of, or probably more, on TV over and over again over the years, but I've never sat down and watched it beginning to end. Which is weird, I know.
It's worth seeing all the way through.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's long. Like,
oh, that I know.
Bear that in mind. It's a long movie.
But it's totes worth it.
But yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool.
Okay, next. Oh, yes. I think if this list were enumerated, this should be number one.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers.
In many ways, the best movie of the 90s. I mean, that's not true, but it is an amazing movie.
But it holds up better.
It's more relevant now than it was when it was made.
But not even that, just in terms of the effects.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Oh, they are.
They still look amazing.
I just think in a post-Iraq war world, it's a more relevant movie than it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and the thing is, he was talking about real stuff that America was doing and the way the world was. So it's not like it came out of nowhere. But I just think it's even more relevant now than it was when it was originally made.
Right.
So just an amazing movie.
All right. I think we have two more to go here. Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah, totally sci-fi. I don't, again, because it's animated, my first thought wouldn't be, oh, well, that counts. But of course it counts. And yeah, of course that's incredible. Yeah. It's a great movie.
Okay, our last one.
Event Horizon. Ooh,
it is not.
How is Event Horizon not on this list?
The last one is Galaxy Quest.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, no, obviously Galaxy Quest belongs on the list. Like,
yeah.
I would never debate that point, but it's like, how did these people who did such a good list forget Event Horizon?
Well, this isn't a list about movies you really liked. This is about movies that hold up.
And
we've talked about
does.
Event Horizon. You can watch it twice, but you can't see it a third time.
Because I think it holds
the movie
up.
Actually doesn't hold up that well.
Okay. I still think it's great, but I do agree with you on some of that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, this is, Galaxy Quest is infinitely rewatchable. It is the film that gave us, Sam Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the film that turned Sam Rockwell into Hollywood's It Boy. So I will always love it for that. Has an all-time great Alan Rickman performance.
Yep.
It's the only movie to star Tim Allen that I haven't actually hated.
All right, high praise.
I know, it's like, if he's in a movie, I hate that movie. Uh-huh. And then one time, he's in one of my favorite movies.
So, yeah.
And Tony Shalhoub is so good in that movie.
Yep.
So's everybody. All right, that's a really good list. Like, I mean, barely anything here we would disagree with.
Well, no, that's not true at all. Demolition Man doesn't hold up.
I said barely anything. Oh, yeah. And it's like, if you ever wanted to see a film, like, evidence that a film does not hold up, like, Dennis Leary is in this movie. And he is there for no reason other than he had a popular comedy album the previous year.
Yeah, he was
like,
big
coming in, do
in
your comedy
90s.
Album in the movie. What? No, that's a terrible idea.
Right, and here's an old car for you to drive around. What? But this is all set. Car doesn't fit. It's too big.
Oh, none of that made sense. All right. So yeah, I can't deny that part, but you're absolutely right. I still really like Demolition Man though. Okay, so yes, that's an interesting set of things, but I wonder, I was gonna try and segue into upcoming horror movies, but I can't think of a way to do it from 90s sci-fi.
They're still like, making 90s sci-fi movies.
Yeah, they still, like, but I wanted to say, are they still making 90s sci-fi movies, but it's like, no, but we're talking about horror movies, I can't segue that, I just can't. I wish I could have segued that, but I can't figure out a way to do it. So
I will just tell you, this week's upcoming horror movie is called Wrong Turn, The Foundation.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, after Wrong Turn 5, I swore I would never watch another Wrong Turn movie because they're made by loathsome human beings, and I stand by that. What's the premise?
A cross-country hiking expedition puts a group of friends in the land of an inclusive society where they soon discover they are under a different rule of law and may not be the victims they thought they were.
What?
I can't understand.
I can't parse that sentence.
No. Because when it's like inclusive, okay, do you mean like intentional society?
Maybe.
And then I read a little bit more. And so these people on this hiking trip.
Yeah.
Run afoul of an isolated society.
Oh, a reclusive society.
Reclusive society in the backwoods.
Okay.
And they've been living out there since the Civil War.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with Wrong Turn.
No, unless, because in Wrong Turn, there's actually like a literal wrong turn that takes place.
Also, it's about killbillies.
And it's about I'm assuming maybe these people are...
No, but I mean, this is one of those things where like they retreated from society 150 years ago and they've set up their own isolated civilization. This is more like that, book by, oh God, who wrote, Peter Benchley. He wrote a book about what if there were still pirates in the Caribbean because they had set up a pirate island and had never stopped living the pirate lifestyle for the past 300 years.
Uh-huh.
It's a very silly book. And Michael Caine stars in the movie. But anyway, so it, I assume it would be more like one of those kind of things where it's like people, they saw they were losing the Civil War, so they just went and hid in the woods and kept their society going there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but that is what I would surmise.
Right.
Okay.
So it's here, there's an alternate synopsis.
Please.
Friends hiking the Appalachian Trail are confronted by the Foundation, a community of people who have lived in the mountains for hundreds of years.
Okay, so yeah. That's exactly what it is.
There you go.
Turns out I was right about that one. Okay. Yeah. The Foundation. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound great. And I hate all, I have, you know, taken a pledge to never watch another Wrong Turn movie after Wrong Turn 5. Cause we watched Wrong Turn 4. And this is, you can go back and listen to this episode. It was terrible.
I remember number 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sure I've seen more, but.
We covered 4 on the show. It was about an asylum. It was interesting because there was like an asylum breakout. And we're like, oh my God, is this whole movie going to be set in the 70s? What an interesting take. And as like a prequel. But then it's like, no, it's not. That's just the first 5 minutes of the movie. The rest is just stupid teens hole up in a mental hospital. It's very dumb.
I don't remember any of that.
There's no reason you would. But. What I find interesting is, so then, 5 came out and we're like, let's cover 5 for the show. And I watched it, you know, I went out, I rented it, I watched it, and then I phoned you after finishing watching it. And I'm like, have you watched Wrong Turn 5 yet? And you're like, no, I haven't. And I'm like, okay, don't. Instead of covering it on the show, I'm just going to do a 5-minute spoken word piece about how everyone involved in the film is a bad person. And then we'll just move on to whatever else we're covering that week. That is how much I hate the movie, Wrong Turn 5. And I know they've made more since, but they're all loathsome.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my
take. I think we're doing 3 movies a week too. Yeah,
I know. So yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah. Jesus.
I know, right? Well, we swapped in lists for the third movie and I think that was a good choice.
Yeah.
All right. So next up.
Movies we actually watched.
I love those. Yes. Well, I say love.
I don't know why you're obsessed with this franchise.
Because one guy bought a house, and then to pay off the mortgage, he just keeps making found footage movies in the same house. What is there not to be obsessed with?
So, our first movie tonight is Bad Men 2, Steelmanville Road.
Yeah.
So, we watched Bad Ben a little while ago. Because did you know about like the whole series of them at the time?
Or
you
just like completely randomly
footage movie.
We do. It's all set in one house. Obviously, it's, you know, riding on the coattails of Paranormal Activity many years later. I wonder what these, you know, I wonder what they're up to.
Right.
And the answer is, you know, just making that same movie over and over again. But
so, here's
but then we found out about the franchise.
Right. Okay. So, in this prequel to Bad Ben, we find out what happened to the couple who lived and died in the house on Steelmanville Road.
Yeah.
So, I have my note here is that it answers questions raised in the first movie while at the same time utterly confounding its audience.
Does it ever?
Oh my God.
This is such a baffling movie.
So, now I know what happened. Like, I know the backstory for Bad Ben.
Yes.
But I need a little bit more.
I need so much more explanation about this world.
What's going on in Bad Ben 2? Also, I just want to note, you're going to make a prequel.
Yeah.
To a movie you've already produced.
Yeah.
Set in the past. Mm-hmm. You might want to remove the PS4 from the mantelpiece. Just putting that out there.
That would have been good, yeah. Although there is my favorite thing in the movie about how, like, again, this is just this guy's house, right?
Yeah.
He lives there. And between Bad Ben and Bad Ben 2, he had bought some leather chairs with the profits from Bad Ben, some comfortable leather recliners. And he's like, you know what? Oh, this is a prequel, and it's like a 50-year-old lady's house. Should I really have the recliners in the shots? And then he thought,
we just moved them into a different room.
But he, no,
it's a
he
room thought, we were never in the first movie.
No, they're in the middle. No, we were in that room in the first movie. and there were no recliners there. So in order to explain why we didn't see recliners there, at the end of the movie, a character is like, I'm taking the recliners with me.
Oh, that's right, yes.
To explain why the recliners were gone. I'm like, you didn't have to explain that part.
I don't remember the recliners.
It's like, not important at
from
all.
From movie to movie, it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't, but I just thought it was hilarious that the film thought it had to explain why the recliners weren't there in the first film. Because they go to such trouble to explain every single,
bigger issue, though, is that in Steelmanville Road, this couple that moves into the house, the wife in the couple inherited it from her birth mother, a woman she didn't know. And the house looks exactly the same as it does in Bad Ben. And it's very clearly a house where a single man lives.
Yeah, quite clearly.
And in the story of the film, it was a woman who lived in that house. And it's just like, no, a woman has never lived in that house. It's so obvious. Painfully obvious.
Yeah, completely. This is in every way the owner of the filmmaker's house. This is just his house. He makes movies in his house.
I know, and that's why that just bothered me so much. Also, there are no fewer than 4 giant televisions in that house.
I know. Well, again, he made a lot of money on that first Bad Ben movie. He's got to spend it on somehow.
Exactly.
PS4s, leather recliners, giant televisions. Man's living large. You gonna blame him?
So he does, to his credit, he does a good job wrapping up all the loose ends from Bad Ben.
There's seriously a 5-minute scene at the end of this movie about how all of the weird props ended up where they ended up.
Yes.
I'm like, to the point where you didn't really need to explain that to us.
But whatever, like, I'm fine with that. I take bigger issue with the fact that I have so many questions about what's actually going on in this movie.
It is baffling.
So from what I can gather, the deceased mother is the descendant of the union between a woman and the Jersey Devil.
No. Not the descendant of the union between the Jersey Devil. No. The union of a woman and the Jersey Devil is the uncle who once per generation comes and rapes a woman and makes that woman have another Jersey Devil. A woman had 12 children, and then the 13th child, she was raped by Satan, and her child was the Jersey Devil. And then the next generation, that Jersey Devil comes and rapes a woman from his own family.
Yeah.
And then she has a Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
But she also has a bunch of other kids.
Yeah.
And in the next generation, that one comes back and so on and so forth. So yeah, there's always a Jersey Devil raping a woman,
but the Jersey Devil is raping a family member.
Yes, but you said she was a descendant of the union between a woman and the Jersey Devil, and she's not. The union of a woman and a Jersey Devil is only ever a new Jersey Devil.
Well, okay, so she's related to the Jersey Devil.
Well, yes, exactly. She's related. That is the point. She is related to the Jersey Devil.
Oh my God.
I didn't say it was good. I didn't say my explanation was going to satisfy you. I'm just saying there is, that's not exactly what's going on.
So in the house, there's a ghost in the house.
Yeah.
And
there's a bunch of ghosts in the house.
Okay, there are 2 ghosts in the house. We see one, and then only later in the movie do we actually hear the other ghost.
Yeah.
And I guess I couldn't figure out who sided with the Jersey Devil and who was trying to protect the daughter.
And the reason you couldn't tell that
from the Jersey Devil.
The reason you couldn't tell that is because it's impossible to tell whose side anyone is on.
Because, so this woman who inherits the house, she finds out that she has a brother.
Yeah.
A half brother who died in the house, killed himself. And then her mother also died in that house. She fell down the stairs. Might have been pushed. Might have thrown herself down the stairs. It's unclear. And the mother had a friend who was a psychic. And so the psychic tells the wife, who now lives in the house, this whole story at her insistence. And then she gets pissed off and kicks the psychic out of her house. not real.
She gets very upset. Yeah.
Like, you asked. You wanted to know. So I think there's this moment where your expectations are subverted because you think the ghost of the brother is there to hurt her, but he's actually there to protect her, and it's actually the ghost of the mother who wants to make sure that this whole Jersey Devil rape thing continues.
Yes.
And maybe Mona is helping that to happen.
She's definitely helping that to happen.
Even though at the end she's like, I'm going to take care of this problem now. I'm going to bury the corpse of Bad Ben, who is the Jersey Devil baby, which, you know, is the product of this rape. And then, so it's like, but if you wanted that to happen, why are you now making sure that he doesn't rise again ever?
Okay. If you ask my theory, which I'm going to assume you're asking my theory, my theory is she knows that the Jersey Devil is definitely going to get this woman one way or another. Mm-hmm. And she wants to make sure the next generation of that never happens.
Because she says, she's like, I'm going to make sure everything goes to plan. And she's talking to the ghost of the mom.
Yes.
So it's like, they concocted this grand plan. So, but
they came up with the plan after the mother's death when the woman was already a ghost.
But if the daughter never came back to that house, who's the Jersey Devil going to rape?
I thought part, well, I mean, they still live in New Jersey. I think the devil might have come to, no, you're right.
Because he's like, from my understanding, the Jersey Devil, it's just he lives in the Pine Barrens.
He can't go to the city to attack.
He can't go to like the Jersey Shore, for instance.
That's true. That part of the story I don't have, I mean, I will agree with you. I don't have an explanation for that part of the story. I wish I did. But I don't have an explanation for that part. But yes, as far as I can tell, the friend wants this to happen so she can stop the next generation of Jersey Devils, which makes it seem like she is 100% sure for some reason that this generation has to happen as well. And I don't understand that part at all. Like, and I can't even offer a theory about that part.
Right. I just feel like this whole situation could have been avoided
by just not
bequeathing the house to the daughter.
Yeah. And that's the weird part. Like, you wonder, did the mother know that this was going to be the result if she bequeathed the house to her daughter who she abandoned? Because you have to like go out of your way.
She has to know. That's why she gave the daughter away.
The house. Yeah.
No, that's why she gave her away.
No, you should wait to protect her from all this. So why did she give her the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess the real problem with Steelman Villarreal is that the plot doesn't make any sense.
There's one tiny problem with the movie.
Like, I don't understand why anyone does anything.
So the movie takes forever to get going.
Oh God.
And you have this couple. It's like, I don't understand why they're married.
I know.
And why does she fucking have a job?
That's weird. Well, at one point she says she has a job because she works from her computer.
No, it's only mentioned once. So they move into this house and money is always tight. And there's always talk about how they can like barely afford the hydro bills. And then and he's like, I have to work nights, so you're alone in the house all the time.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't work until I get the Wi-Fi turned on. But it's like, we don't know what she does. And I'm assuming she doesn't actually work. This is my assumption from watching the movie in its entirety. She doesn't have a fucking job, but complains constantly about not having enough money. Get a goddamn job.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one.
And so that goes on for way too long. And then she gets raped by the Jersey Devil. Doesn't seem to remember that happening.
Nope, she doesn't.
Assumes.
And then we cut 9 months into the future.
Yeah, and then it's like 9 months later, she's, you know, about to pop. It's like, why didn't we just, what?
Yeah.
Right?
They really fast forwarded to the end of that story.
And there were like no hauntings at all in that 9 month period.
Well, because the Jersey Devil had succeeded, I guess.
But there's the ghost brother is still in the house. And the mother is still in the house.
I mean, you're right. I don't have a good explanation for why they weren't involved at all during the 9 months that she was pregnant with the Jersey Devil's baby.
Yeah.
That part doesn't make the most sense.
Right. And all she and her husband do is argue with each other. And then the husband has a friend who hates the wife. Like, there's just, there's, you
but
know.
She hates him back, so, you know.
I guess, so it all comes out of the wash. Oh my God.
But, and the thing that I didn't understand is they keep talking about how, like, we can't afford the utilities. And I'm like, you were just given a house. Mm-hmm. You were obviously paying to live
somewhere else. Yeah.
Like, you were paying money to live somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Until now. There is no way that your rent could have been less expensive than the water and power for a house where only two people live and don't use that much water or power.
Right. I mean, because it's a really big house, but like, I don't know how
you
much...
just leave the lights off.
Utilities cost out in the countryside. All I can tell you is that I had friends who lived outside of town, and so they pay their utilities to the county,
right,
and their utility bills were lower.
Well, there you go.
So but that's,
every part of this movie makes no sense.
That's in northern Florida. I don't know how it works in New Jersey.
In rural New Jersey? I can't imagine it's that different.
So, I don't know. I'd be more concerned about the property taxes on that house than the utilities, but that's me.
There you go. Oh God. But yes, the property taxes are the much bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And given that this is obviously this guy's house, you'd think he would know that. Like, just make it, it's like, how are we going to pay for the property taxes for this place? Well, yeah, that's a reasonable thing to be concerned about.
Right.
And, you know, bring that up instead of constantly talking about utilities.
Yeah.
All you have to do once to explain why you're worried about money is just have for one line say, the property taxes in this place are cost more than our rent.
Yeah, and maybe give us an explanation as to why she can't get a fucking job.
Okay, yeah, that would actually help too. But yeah, it's like, because this is obviously such a windfall, but they keep talking about utilities. No, the bigger issue is property taxes. I would think everyone would know that, but not this film.
I don't know. Anyway.
So yes, it's a very baffling movie in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just because it's never clear, like, whose side anyone is on, because this lady does seem sympathetic and does seem want to help, but then when she turns evil, right, you're like, she still seems like she's doing the mother a favor?
Yeah.
And you're like, but if the mother, it's not like she turns out to be part of a cult who also deceived the mother, they still act like she's helping the mother even while she's doing evil stuff, and I'm like, so is the mother part of a, but the mother couldn't be part of a cult because she gave the kid away to save her.
No, there's no cult.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, well, no, but if, by the way, if the two people, if the mother and the friend were both in on worshiping the Jersey Devil, that's a cult. Like, that's two people. So that's enough of a cult.
But no, right? Nobody's worshiping the Jersey Devil. You're suggesting something that the movie doesn't even suggest as a possibility.
No, I know. It's just the way that they're into it and the son was into it and all of that stuff. I'm like, I'm so confused.
No, it's just about family history. And then you've got this friend, the psychic, who buries the body of Ben at the end of the movie.
Which, by the way, why was there a security camera out there for that?
Okay, so here's the thing about the security cameras in this house. Okay. Those cameras seem to move, like, of their own will, because the cameras are supposed to be mounted high in the corners.
Yep.
But then it's like living room camera, and it's like up in the corner. But all of a sudden now it's like positioned on the table so we can get a two shot of a conversation.
Oh, God.
We're cutting between cameras in the living room and it's just, yeah.
You know what my favorite thing in the movie was? That when I realized they were going to be so desperate to explain every loose end in the thing, like the scene where it's like, make a childlike crayon drawing mm-hmm. of the house and like, oh right, the childlike crayon drawing. And then later, like she alters it to add Bad Ben and she holds it up to the camera.
Why?
Remember this from the previous movie?
Yeah. Why would you hold that to the camera? Who's watching? Well, your husband's pervy friend, I guess.
No, he's dead by that point.
Oh, that's right. He is dead.
He's dead by that point.
Right. He did.
Oh, what I love is it's like, I love the moment where like the husband comes in and his friend has been like, there's blood everywhere, right? There's blood everywhere and his wife is lying on the ground and she's no longer pregnant. And it's like, what happened to the baby? He flew away, she says. And he like doesn't call the cops, the ambulance, just sprints into the woods.
It's like, where are you going?
Where do you think you're going?
I know, but just like takes off at this clip. It's actually quite funny.
You know, it's very funny. I agree that it's very funny.
And then when like, the script necessitates, he comes running back.
He just sprints back and we see him sprinting. Instead of just running back in the back door that he sprinted out of, we see him sprint around the entire house.
He sprints out the front door because the back, because I wonder, right, yes. Like, why are you going at the front door? You can just go at the back door. That back door leads to a balcony.
Oh, right.
Screened in porch.
I forgot about the screened in porch. You're right.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a baffling scene in a baffling movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And I'll be honest with you, I'm excited to see where they go next.
God.
Although the film does end with the guy coming to buy the house, thus setting up the link to Bad Ben.
I mean, he thought it through for the most part.
But I just love that, what I love was that at no, like, if you watch Bad Ben, you're left with the impression that this couple had a monster baby and chained it up in the basement.
Yes,
and then
that is not at all what happened.
That's not all what happened. And so, like, there's this whole scene at the end of the movie where the lady just narrates to nobody, oh, here's all the other stuff to get it lined up.
Right.
It's like, by the way, Ben, now I buried you in the backyard, and also, you're not going to be able to do anything. If you come back, your ghost is going to be chained up in the basement by the guardians, figures who have never been adequately explained in the entire franchise.
Maybe that's the third movie. We're going to learn more about the guardians.
I need to know who these guardians are.
Because I know you're in it just to get to that fifth movie, which is about a clown.
That is why, yeah. No, that's why. Well, no, I'm also fascinated by the fact that the fourth movie is the first movie again set in another dimension.
Yes.
And, like, the guy finds out that all of this has happened to a different version of him in another dimension. I'm like, that sounds interesting. I know it's to save money on actors, but that sounds interesting. Uh-huh. all right. Let's move on to our other movie we watched tonight.
Right, our second movie tonight, in keeping with our theme from last week, which is movies we love from a long time ago and haven't watched in a while, we watched Screamers.
Screamers.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. All right, I will synopsis and then I'll ask you a question.
Go.
As a war between a mining corporation and its former employees drags on, two soldiers journey into enemy territory to broker peace. Meanwhile, humans on both sides are stalked by killbots.
Yay.
So, my question to you is,
please,
how much of this movie did you remember?
Almost none.
Right?
I remembered killbots, and I remembered the whole ending.
Oh.
But I remembered the whole getaway.
Oh, I remembered Peter Weller.
Well, obviously.
I remembered their underground robots. And I remembered there was a dude who said the line, it's a type 2. That's the entirety.
That's the entirety of your memory of this movie.
And I was sure that I'd seen the second one. And an element that I was convinced was in the second movie is actually a big part of this movie.
Oh, what element is that? Is it the kids?
It's the kids.
Yeah. I had totally forgotten about the kids.
I know, I remembered the kids, but I thought it was from a different movie.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so if you've never seen Screamers before, I would suggest you just, like... Just stop here, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, because you should watch this movie.
You should watch Screamers. It's not great.
It's not great, but it's a ton of fun. It is a ton of fun. And you can watch it for free. Like, the whole thing is just, and the crazier part, not only is the whole thing on YouTube, I uploaded by somebody. The second movie is one of those movies that can actually be watched, like, for free on YouTube, but you just have to watch ads.
That's annoying.
it's annoying, but it's still a free movie, like, yeah. that you can watch on YouTube, and everybody has ad blocker but me, so I don't think that this is a problem. Yeah, but it's like, okay, so now we're just going to start talking about the movie.
Right. Okay, so I had no idea that she was the type 2. Or, well, human.
A type 2. Yes, A type 2. Yes, I did, because I remembered the,
I remembered the ending. Anything about the ending of this movie, to the point where I was getting really frustrated with how long it was taking for stuff to happen. I'm like, just get in that fucking shuttle already. That countdown's gonna finish and it's gonna fly away and you're gonna be stuck on this rock. So
it's a great reveal.
Get your ass in gear. Yeah. It was pissing me off.
But it's such a good reveal. Like that long wait for that is in service of something pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And that's that's actually a really well done fight.
Oh God, yeah.
Between the two ladies.
Yeah, the two versions. Well, her and her stunt double.
Still, great fight.
No, it's a great fight scene. Like there's two superpowered robots who are identical fighting each other. And you're like, wow, what's Peter Weller gonna do? Like who does he, and they, I love that they never get the chance to do the, oh, who should Peter Weller shoot thing?
No, never.
No, they don't have to. Like, no, like it's a fight between two and then one of them kills the other one and it's obvious which one got killed.
Yeah.
And Peter Weller just shoots the other one. And, you know.
No, she burns up in the...
No, he shoots at her and then he tries to shoot the other one. And then, of course, we get a scene of her burning up from the engine, which is pretty badass. It's a pretty badass way to go.
Yeah. So this is based on a story.
By Philip K. Dick.
And I think it's actually... The whole idea of this war I find really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's been going on for like 20 years and it's carried on for so long and it's just so far removed from the rest of like the human population that they sort of almost forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And so for
basically people just keep sending troops.
Yeah.
And they send some supplies, but they basically just don't even acknowledge the war is happening anymore. I have to assume this is one of Philip K. Dick's many comments on Vietnam.
Probably. And then, like, the shuttle crashes and the Alliance, the former employees, they find out that actually the war has moved and it's like on, it's happening on an entirely different planet now and they have no idea what the hell and is happening outside of their world.
Someone tried to broker, like, they get this order to broker peace and we find out that the guy who sent that order to broker peace got executed for trying to end the war mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've just been here, you know, like as a forgotten remnant of a war that has moved on.
And they're all victims to these killbots, the screamers that the Alliance cooked up.
Yeah.
And, but they made them too good. So like they built this entire autonomous factory to create the screamers, and as like one character says, it's like they turned, you know, they pushed the on button and then ran away mm-hmm. and it's the factory has like it can learn and grow like Terminators essentially. Basically they built an underground Skynet.
Yep.
And now the factory is just producing screamers that no one's ever seen before and they look like little kids and grown women and adult men, and it's just like,
and sleazy jerks.
What is going on?
Sleazy jerks who you would never trust.
There's just so, well, the two of them are really weird. So it's like.
That's true.
Either one of them were good candidates for.
I know that I didn't remember which one of them was a screamer. Like I know one of them is, I just don't remember which one.
So, I mean, it's a credit to the movie.
Yeah.
So I just find like this whole world that they live in really interesting.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it really is a great world they created for the movie. Mm-hmm. Cause again, like the idea of the military industrial complex creating an endless war just so it can justify its own continued existence is great. Mm-hmm. Right. So that part of the plot is fantastic. But then the rest of it, the idea that of a war that keeps going and a weapon that keeps fighting, even though long after, like, anyone really cares or remembers why the war was happening.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause those screamers aren't going anywhere.
No.
Like, they don't know how to turn them off.
More screamers.
Yeah, the screamers make more screamers, and no one knows how to turn them off, because that was never a priority.
Well, I don't think, they never even thought that far ahead. They didn't, yeah. I don't think when they made the first screamer, they realized exactly what they were getting into. It's like, well, you've actually created a robot that can recreate itself. It's like the episode of Futurama. So.
It's never a good idea.
Right.
Yeah. And it, because as you say, just like the episode of Futurama, it evolves and becomes something completely different. And all it remembers is it's for killing people. Like fundamentally, that's
unless they have sex.
Unless they have sex.
And then it's oh, I can also be a sex bot. Sex bot or kill bot.
By the way, isn't that sad that that's really only the only robot's two choices in life? Sex bot or kill bot?
Hey, you know, at least they've evolved to the point where they can make that choice.
That's true.
Right? It's not preordained.
No, they get that choice. Their bodies, their selves. I mean, the thing is, it's so much fun. They got a great location. Mm-hmm. Right? All of the outdoor stuff. I mean, I assume it's just a bunch of quarries somewhere, but that looks really good. The matte painting stuff I really liked. To me, it looked like an alien enough planet.
Yeah.
Right? They did a great job. You get the wonderful joke that they're smoking cigarettes to keep from getting cancer.
Yeah.
Such a good joke.
Yep.
They have to fill their lungs with toxic chemicals to keep the even worse chemicals from getting in. That's a fantastic joke movie. Thumbs up to that one. But yeah, it's just a solid movie. Everyone's good in the movie. It's a great premise.
Yep.
It's very well executed. Yeah. Are the effects fantastic? No, but it was a $2 million movie from 1995.
Right.
You know? Like.
Canadian, too. Let's not forget. Yeah.
You're right, Canadian. This was Canadian obviously film. Shot in Quebec. You know, like it's a $2 million Canadian movie from 1995. It wasn't going to look fantastic, but I don't think they have anything to be ashamed of either.
No, of course not.
Yeah, it worked out really well for them, and I was very happy with the product. And yeah, you want to talk about movies that held up. Screamers held up.
Well, okay, so I gave you a choice of lists before we started recording this episode. And on the other list, which was like sci-fi movies you've never heard of or something along those lines, Screamers was actually on that list.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we had heard of it.
We'd heard of all of those movies. It was not a good list.
Oh, really?
Because they're like big movies.
Oh, so Death Machine was on there?
No, Iron Giant was on that list.
That is not obscure at all.
Right?
It was in friggin' Ready Player One, which only featured super obvious references that everyone knows.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane that they would have put that in there.
So, I'm a little disappointed you didn't pick that list, only because you'd be so mad.
That's true. I would have been very mad the whole list. I would not have made good company. So, there you go.
But at least the list did recognize Screamers for the underdog that it is.
The charming underdog that it absolutely is. So yeah, like I hope you guys who listen to this have already seen Screamers and we didn't just ruin all of the plot twists.
Also, the Screamers, it's like right at the beginning of them, it's not a secret that there are underground killbots just waiting for their chance to fly out of the sand and cut you down.
Yep.
It's like it is a well-known fact that these things are out there. They have a technology to make them invisible to the screamers. So it's really more about this whole world and this weird war that won't end. And then the evolution of the screamers and kind of like sort of what that means for this commentary on an endless war.
Well, and the thing is, I was really disappointed myself for having remembered that she was a type 2 or
type 2.
She's a type 4. Like, maybe she's
type 1, which is that, like, kind of weird skeleton-looking thing. Yeah.
Razor-headed skeleton. Type 2, the children. Type 3, the children that say, please don't.
Yeah.
And then type 2s, which are humans who pretend to be soldiers. And she might just be another human that pretends to be a soldier, or she might be a type 4, which is a new thing, the sex robot. Because she specifically refers to herself, when the evil her shows up, it's specifically refers to itself as being more evolved than any of the others.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So
but then, there, but then there's this conversation. It's like, oh, like because you had sex.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we were built for that.
Yeah.
It's like part of the deal was that, you know, we,
as a way to get the,
we bleed like humans and we fuck like humans. So it's
exactly. Cause they need to do, be able to do everything to, take people into their confidence.
Yeah. But then she learned to love.
She learned to love.
It's beautiful.
So, okay. I know it's going to be a weird thing and I'm probably like crazy for making the connection, but isn't it strange that a key plot point of RoboCop the remake was that there existed a bracelet that kept killer robots from killing you?
I don't remember much about the remake except for the fact that they've got this weird Ed 209 thing that won't speak Farsi.
I know! Oh, that was bad. That was bad. No, but a key element of the plot was, well, and that's in the RoboCop, in the Ed 209, because a key element of the movie is that no one can shoot, no one who is a RoboCop, or Ed 209 or whatever, can shoot anyone wearing a red flashing light bracelet. And I just find it weird.
Oh, yeah, that's totally, that's gotta be right out of Screamers.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't 100%. It weird that a movie starring RoboCop had that plot detail that was so central to this? Okay. All right. So I'm glad I'm not crazy for thinking that. Thank you so much.
That's the only logical conclusion you can draw is that the guys who remade RoboCop for some inexplicable reason.
Well, no, and I think the reason is they decided to watch Peter Weller movies because they were remaking RoboCop. Let's see what else Peter Weller did.
Let's see what else he did. Yeah.
And they had a great time is what they did. I really liked this movie. And I'm kind of looking forward to Screamers 2.
I guess. I'm like, maybe I haven't seen Screamers.
It's going to be an exciting journey for both of us,
I think. So.
All right. Screamers, definitely a massively underrated gem. Like, now I'm blanking on the name. This is so embarrassing. You know, the one about the army bot that gets turned into, Hardware.
Well,
Hardware.
I haven't seen Hardware. We've been over this.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. Well, I'm not spoiling Hardware. It's about an army robot that kills people. There. Spoiler alert.
Okay, so on the topic of army robots that kill people, I don't know if you've seen this. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show. I think it's about a killbot, and I think Brad Dourif is in it.
Death Machine?
Maybe it is Death Machine.
Brad Dourif was in Death Machine, and it is about a killbot.
Okay, so you're
probably thinking of Death Machine.
Definitely thinking of Death Machine. I need to rewatch that.
You totally need to rewatch. You know what?
And we might a couple of years ago.
We might do a Death Machine Hardware double bill.
No, I thought we talked about Death Machine on the show already.
We definitely didn't.
Are you sure?
We can check and make sure.
Yeah.
If we did, then I'm for once forgetting.
No, because I remember saying that if I'd seen that movie as a teenager.
You would have, yeah.
I would have had a very confusing and complicated relationship with that film. And I'm glad I saw it as an adult. Still a confusing and complicated relationship, only less.
Yeah.
Less confusing and complicated.
The same way you feel about Clancy Brown and Highlander.
Yes!
You're like, I'm glad I didn't see this as a 13-year-old, or my love map would have been very deranged.
Already pretty fucked up.
I am way too into bald Clancy Brown with safety pins through his neck. This is upsetting. Thank God 13-year-old you didn't see that movie.
It's stirring for all of us, I'm sure. I have enough problems with bad guys. I don't need to start piling on.
Oh my God. Oh, what a perfect place to stop. For now.
Yes, let's not
delve any further into this one.
The depths of my weird.
Yep.
Weird crushes on evil blonde men.
I know. So we'll stop it there and say that, do we have any narcissism to watch?
No.
Okay. For me. Obviously, Vargelon.com for Criminal Minds needs. We've got all of the last episode of our trip through the Inside, Tim Minear's amazing serial killer TV show. It's an incredible show. We did a special mini series bonus episodes every Tuesday on Profiling Criminal Minds. So if you want to find out about the best show ever, listen to those episodes and you can watch all of The Inside for free on YouTube right now.
Really?
Because Fox doesn't care about it at all. And some guy bought the British DVDs and just put them all.
Oh my God. That's what I'm going to do right now.
Or like either DVDs or maybe they like recorded it off of British television.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's on YouTube.
Go watch The Inside is the point I'm getting at, I guess. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVOD's blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about what weird crushes you developed as a teenager watching terrible movies. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you're listening on an app, please rate and review.
We would appreciate it.
Positively.
Well, now you're just getting demanding. We'll see you back here for more. We'll see you back here next week. But until then, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.